and Fridays. It's Brother Johnny, New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny!
We're down here at Football City right now, Stevie.
Woo-hoo! And Mike Ditka. Mike, where are you this morning?
I'm in Chicago. I got back last night.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around great guy, icon, who signs more autographs in a day than... I don't know what, Mike. I've never seen anything quite like your iconic away and the way you handle it so graciously with so many fans. Great to have both of you back on the program. All right, well, you got to start with Tim Tebow. Mike, it was a miracle. You said it's going to take a miracle to beat Pittsburgh. I'll be darned if they didn't do it. Unbelievable.
No, it really didn't turn out to be a miracle. What it turned out to be was pretty darn team, good team effort. Made some plays on defense. And, you know, I think the one thing, and I said it earlier today on ESPN, that, you can improve your throwing motion and your delivery and your accuracy and your anticipation and get the ball out. But, you know, you can't improve your character and your discipline, your leadership, all the things that this kid has. So I really believe that good things do happen to good people. I really believe that. I think the people got to get away from calling, you know, Tebow this, Tebow that. It's the Denver Broncos. He just happens to be the quarterback of that football team. And he's done a good job. He really has. We got to evaluate this kid on 12 games. In 12 games, he has 8 wins. That's pretty good. I mean, the 3 losses, yeah, they were ugly. Is he going to set the world on fire? I don't know. But I know one thing. He's going to continue to improve as a pocket passer. And the more he improves, the better he's going to be.
Don't you think, too, they held him back a lot. I mean, they really did a very fundamental run it, and didn't pass that much. And yesterday, a little more, give him a chance. And in the overtime, Mike, I think that was the first play action on first down that I saw. They didn't have any safeties. Pittsburgh weren't going to play, and it worked. But I think you let the guy play a little, and he's going to be
you're
better.
Exactly right. And I know, and he made a comment about it too, you know. And I think you got to let him deliver that ball for play action early in the setup. You can't. And then which you're right, it was the first down. The last thing too is that safety came up for the run. There's no question about what happened. Guy snuck in behind him, and then he made a great catch and run, and outran everybody for a touchdown. It's just hard to put your finger on it, but. You know, if you got a talent like that, and you put an offense in the way they have, and they put the offense in because of him, well, then you got to find every way you can to maximize that kid's talent. And I think that's what they're going to keep working on. Now, believe me, if he plays the way he played yesterday, I don't know if he can do that Sunday or Saturday against the Patriots. But if he does, wow. Now, this story is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I'm not betting against him.
I tell you what.
Hey, listen, you know, we had an X factor. I said, he's my X, Y, and Z factor. You know, it's up to him. They're going to win.
Well, you have New England favored by 13.5 in that game coming up.
But you know, too, Mike, Denver's defense isn't bad, huh? I don't know.
When they get it going, what they've got to do, they've got to get the Elvis Duvall, and they've got to get this the other kid, Von Miller, off there. If they can get them in, they made a couple big plays right near the end of the game. They were important. And that maybe they've got to be able to – don't forget, the Patriots got a very good offensive line. They'll have the work cut out for them, John. But then again – that's why they call it a football team. Everybody has to do their job. I thought what Denver did wrong, though, is once they had the lead, they went into that stupid 3-man rush, dropped everybody.
Yeah.
They couldn't cover those guys deep downfield, and the Ben picked them apart. So I mean, you got to keep your pedal to the metal.
Well, I'll tell you, Stevie, it was quite a weekend we had. I was, of course, pulling for Denver.
Yeah.
I like Tebow. You know, Danny Werfel and the whole Florida crowd there's a good group that comes out of there, and I like him. And then, of course, you had the Texans, Houston, you had the Saints, and then the Giants. I want every one of those teams to win. So, quite an NFL weekend there.
Yeah, you know, I think you're talking to John, what you mentioned, the Texans, what a great job they've done with their coaching staff, playing with a third quarterback. And I didn't think they would win. I thought Cincinnati would beat them. I really did. And they did a great job. So, you know, it was good to see that, too. I mean, you know, this is their first trip, and I mean, it's a big trip. But, I mean, I don't think they're awed by the bright lights of going into Baltimore and playing the Ravens. I think they'll be okay. They lost to them earlier, but that was earlier.
All right, so you got the Houston going into Baltimore. Houston is getting 9 points. Giants over Atlanta yesterday. Giants look good to me, but the Giants are getting 9 points at Green Bay. I thought that was a lot.
That's a big line, all right. So, I don't know. I think they can beat them.
You mean the Giants are favored by nine?
No, Green Bay's favored by nine, yeah.
Well, that's too many points. There's no question about that. That's way too many points because, you know, they played earlier and, you know, the Giants played them pretty darn good earlier. And first of all, Green Bay's got some problems on defense. Not only injuries, but they don't play the best defense in the world. So they're going to have to crank up that offense and really get it going. And they got to get some guys back in the offensive line. So it's going to be a very tough thing for Green Bay, believe me.
Well, 3 years ago, maybe it was four, but Eli went in there. And they went in and beat them. And look, there are 16 guys, Steve, on that team that played in that game. They know they can win at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, so, and then the Saints, given a lot of respect, they're favored by 3.5 at San Francisco. That's going to be quite a ball game.
Well, yeah, Mike. I think the key comes down to what I said. I mean, can the 49ers score points? I mean, I know they're going to put. Listen, they're the best defense in there, guys. They play good. They play solid. They're a very disciplined team. And I told the kids on the ESPN this morning that they remind me a lot of the 84 Bears. They haven't really figured out a few things yet, but they know they can play defense. And I think they're going to hang their hat on defense, the running game, try to keep Breeze off the field, and we'll see how it goes.
How is that pass rush at San Francisco?
It's pretty good, but I think when you look at San Francisco, John, it actually becomes more than a pass rush. There's not one rushing touchdown scored on. I think anybody that watched the Saints game yesterday didn't understand the Saints have a good running game. It's crazy. Mm. They got a two-headed running game that's pretty daggone good. Actually, a three-headed one. So they can do whatever they want to do. I'm just saying that if you could take one of the options away, which would be the run, then I think, you got a chance. You know what? At least you're up against. You can pin your ears back and go after them.
Well, and it's look, they can play. The Saints can play outside, but that game Saturday was our 12th game indoor out of 17. It's not the same thing.
And I'm sure, I've heard everybody say, well, they'll whip the field down and they'll do this. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think they'll do that. But I'm sure the field, being outdoors for them, it'll be tough. And, that can be a tough environment to go into, but
the weather's supposed to be good, Mike.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
60 and sunny is what it's saying for San Francisco.
That's going to help, I think. So Saints are probably – look, I don't know if there's a team ever been on an offensive roll that's been any better than the Saints are right now.
No, that never happened. Never happened. Nobody's ever done what they did, and they're rolling up the big numbers, and they're doing it is, and why not, they said it, why not keep your foot on the pedal? I mean, if the gas pedal, if you're going good, you're going good, and keep up your confidence. And they didn't have last week, and I didn't see any difference.
I have a coaching question. I was watching the Atlanta New York game, Mike, and I had heard that one of the things that New York was worried about was Michael Turner, because he's a great running back, and they're talking, how are you going to stop Michael Turner? Well, So the Falcons get out there. The first play, run Michael Turner, gained a yard. Second play, run Michael Turner. Of course, didn't gain anything. And then he puts Matty Ryan in 3rd and 9. I don't know what in the world they were thinking when, in the NFL, I think 25 years ago, there was a lot bigger spread between the teams and probably between the athletes. But if you think you're going to run over someone when they know you might be running over, I don't know, Mike. I just don't think that was that smart, because if they think you're going to do it, boy, what do you think about that? Because I thought Ryan's a great quarterback.
Overall, John, it wasn't one of the best coach games I've ever seen. I thought the staff dropped the ball. You're right. If you're going to throw it, you throw it off of play action. And you don't throw it on first down and second down every time and be predictable. You come out, you throw the ball, you spread them out, you do some things, and then you use the run. And that's what the Saints do, exactly that. And threw the ball, loosened them up, and then they ran the football.
It seems to be.
I don't have an answer. I'm just telling you, it's pretty interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
If you, even with a good offense, if that defense is aware that you might do something, it makes a lot of difference. But if they don't know what you're going to do, you can just about do anything.
Yeah.
Hey, that's true. That is true.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM 744, brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford. All right, let's talk a little politics. You've got the debates that occurred Saturday night on ABC, Sunday morning on Meet the Press. Not sure how many saw these because of football, because of Sunday morning schedules. But according to the last New Hampshire poll, Romney 35, Ron Paul 18, John Huntsman 16, Newt at 12, Santorum at 11. And so it looks like it's a Romney win, which I think everybody expects. But the question, Johnny, is where do they go from there?
Well, I think that Romney will have the first two there, and then South Carolina is where they go. And I think if Romney would win South Carolina, then you're going to start seeing a real front runner that's truly got a very good chance of going the distance. But South Carolina could turn things around, and I think Newt Gingrich is still right there. He's dipped, but he's hanging in there. Santorum's there, but I think Gingrich is probably the only viable one, Mike, in that field that could probably take that from Romney from the Republican side.
You can take this and you can put it and you can take all the money you want out of the bank and bet it. Paul and Huntsman have no chance, none. Absolutely zero. So now wherever you go from there, you can go anywhere you want to go from there. But I would say you better look at Romney. You better look at Gingrich. You better look at Santorum. Now, other than that, I'm just telling you, they got no chance. Now, I'm going to say that. I don't dislike them. I like them. I just, they have no chance at all, none. So,
I think that's right.
You got to have somebody in there that's got a chance. And right now, I don't know who that is outside of Romney and Gingrich, really.
I think White House seems to be most concerned about Romney because he is a moderate, and I think that
he is a moderate. You're right. Well, that's the only bad thing. Well, you're not going to get the real strong vote from the right, you know. And I think I don't know. I don't know Mitt Romney. I think he's a little wishy-washy. But my God, he can't be any wishy-washier than the guy in office. So what the heck's the difference?
Well, I agree with that, and I think that the conservative vote will come out to vote against Obama right now.
You would hope so, but you know, people are sometimes in an elevator and get to the top floor.
I think that it's still wide open, Steve. There's ways to go. They're splitting the delegates. In other words, if Romney gets 35% of the vote, he'll get 35% of the delegates.
Yeah.
So he's not going to take the whole winner-take-all type of thing for a while, till April, I think.
Yep,
so
that's correct. They're going to split them till April, and then at that point, I guess you look for endorsements and guys getting out. And Herman Cain still hasn't said. Sarah Palin still hasn't said. So I think they're still waiting and watching. They know Mitt Romney, as moderate as he is, if he's the best shot at it, if the Tea Party and some of the staunch conservatives stay home, they're going to get Barack Obama again. So I guess that's up to them.
Of course, the endorsements anymore, I don't know, Mike. I think if Palin and Herman Cain endorse Romney, two votes, probably. That's two votes, Palin and Romney. I don't know what those endorsements do.
No,
I don't think much.
Well, I think that's media conversation.
Well, Chris Christie says Obama's faking anger to win re-election, says he's not that angry and he's faking it. Chris Christie's out there pretty hard and heavy for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, I think that'll help him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
National
team. I don't know what Christie wants to do, but I mean, the ticket with Romney and Christie probably would make it a much stronger ticket if he was the guy.
Also talking about Romney Rubio from Florida.
That's a good one, too, yeah.
All right, national championship. They're still playing bowl games. One more tonight on this January 9th. It's LSU and Alabama in the Superdome. Boy, I tell you, I know the quarters popping and hopping and the jambalaya is going, Johnny.
Oh, they got the tailgate, Mike. You can smell the red beans in the jambalaya. They're out there right now. And they've been.
Yeah, I'm watching them. They're down there by with the church in the background. And,
yeah, Jackson Square.
I mean, that city really, this weekend, that's pretty special what's happened down there. You know, with a playoff game in the National Football League, and then you got the championship game of college football coming in tonight. I mean, that's pretty daggone good. And it couldn't be in a better place with better people. And you're right. You're talking about a city where if you want to have some fun, I guess you can.
It's a great setup for a big game, too, because you really don't need a car. You can walk to your hotel. Well, we've been to those games, Stevie. I went to the Illinois LSU game. I think that was 10 years ago, which we really, Mike, don't really even like to talk about that. I think it was 34-7 at half.
34-6, but then the Chiefs went out, and I thought we won the halftime. So.
Oh, I think it was 34-7. You'll have to check with T&J on that. And then maybe it was
34-6. And 34-6, because I remember looking at the scoreboard, but then after the Chief danced, I said, we're back. And then we did come back,
actually.
It was 47-34. We lost them. And it was the closest BCS game of the year. That was the closest game. So
and then we've seen LSU win two national championships in there. Mike, I just don't know. I know there's not a whole lot of folks listening down here, so I'm going to just tell you, I think Alabama might win that game. But I think it's a pretty good split between Alabama and LSU fans. It'll seem more like an LSU game than an Alabama game, but there's a lot of Alabama guys here, and it's hard to beat a team like Alabama twice.
Well, yeah, you're right, John. You're 100% right of how good that football team is. I think the thing I see with LSU, I see a confidence. So they look pretty daggone confident to me that they know they'll be able to do certain things. And athletically, they match up with Alabama. They do match up athletically. Whether they can stop Alabama's running game or not, I don't know. But they match up athletically.
Well, it's just going to be good. And, you know, in these games, and that's true of just about any football game, but especially these really closely matched teams, it's just who can hang on to the ball, I guess, and see where that leads you. But it's going to be wild, Stevie, here in Crescent City.
You know, watching these teams like LSU, Alabama, I don't watch college football that looks like that. These guys look like they have 9 or 10 first-round draft picks. They're just the speed of the game at this level is just different.
Well, you know, the speed of the game at high school level was different now than it was. I mean, I watched one of the high school All-American game the other night, and my God, they look like they belong in the NFL.
But you know, Steve, you're right about that. There's seems to be quite a spread in these SEC teams than some of the other football teams. And Mike, you know what? And this is what's amazing about the BCS championship game. Each of the teams gets $14 million for their conference. That gives the SEC $28 million.
Mm.
That's a bunch of money for the schools, and I don't know what they do with it. I don't know how that's split between athletics and academic.
They're not going to tell you either.
That's right.
I'm not going to divulge how that money goes, where it goes. No, but you're right. You know, it really is. I didn't think about that. Both being from the SEC, they both get that kind of money. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. That's pretty good for the conference.
Yeah,
right. Boy, it's unbelievable. And then, the notoriety of the game. So I was a little surprised that when they had an opening, they being the outside of conference voters to get Oklahoma State in, I kind of thought just on that basis, Oklahoma State had a good chance to get in that game. But on the other hand, those probably are the two best college teams, wouldn't you think, Mike?
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Oklahoma State. I think they're really a good football team. They did a great job. But I think everybody wants to see the replay. I really do. I think they want to see the rematch. Really,
I think though, even if Alabama wins, you could make an argument LSU still was the best team this year. I mean, it's hard to give it to Alabama, even if they beat them. I think LSU will win the game. I think it's a huge advantage being in the Superdome.
Well, I know, but this is the national championship game, Steve. So you can't. That's like winning the Super Bowl and then saying, well, we beat you earlier this year. And if that was the case, Mike, Illinois would have a national championship because we beat Michigan State the year they won.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, with the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, has Indy ever hosted the Super Bowl? That's a new one, I believe. I don't know if they
will.
I don't believe they have. I really don't. I know Atlanta, a lot of other people have, but I don't think Indy has. But that was all part of the deal when they put the new stadium in there and this and that. And actually, you know, in saying everything, I mean, if the weather's any, I mean, I can't believe it's January 9th, it's 50 degrees in Chicago today, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. I mean, I don't know. You wait till March and April. Boy, are we going to get it. But anyway,
well, and I'm worried about just... I'm worried about the Super Bowl, which is still 3 weeks away after what you're getting right now. It's probably 27 inches of snow or something. But I'll tell you, Steve, they like to show off these new stadiums, and Indianapolis has a beauty over there.
Well, you can walk indoors almost everywhere. I mean, you're covered almost anywhere you want to go. So, you know, and you've got a good downtown area in Indianapolis and a good surrounding area where you have good restaurants and good hotels. I mean, it'll be Midwest hospitality. It'll be great. It'll be like coming to Chicago, I think.
There's a few less hotel rooms down there than maybe you need.
A lot of people probably are going to be staying in South Bend. They'll be staying in Chicago. I mean, don't forget, now, Chicago is what? For a drive down there, probably it's no more. It's not even 2.5 hours.
Yeah, 2.5. You know? Yeah.
And Champagne's only
2 hours. Yeah,
two.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe we could have charge parking in my yard or something, Johnny. We'll take listen, guys, leave it there, but we'll be back Friday with you. Always a pleasure. Thank you again so much, Mike and Johnny. We appreciate you both.
Great talking to you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer. Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois, president of VersaBar Incorporated. One of our sponsors of the Mike Ditka segment, Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8. 93.5, 95.3, connect.